triumph. And again, there's different claps. Like if you go on a golf course, the golfer's clap is, right? But if you're at the Seahawks game, right, it's, you know, you're just clapping as loud as you can. And then there's the clap with where you're clapping along with the music, right? I mean, you're trying to stay on beat, and half the people over here are on one beat and half are on the other beat. But everybody's trying to clap to the music. But here it says, clap your hands, all you people. In other words, we all need to be in the same frame, in the same mindset, going for the same thing. Because God is good. Come on, He deserves our praise. And one of the ways we praise Him is applaud Him, just acknowledging how good He is. But clap your hands, all you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Now, it's easy to shout when you really hit the big one, right? When God really comes through and you go, woo, glory to God. I got that bill paid, or I got that car, I got, you know, whatever. I got that healing, whatever. But I think shouting to God with a voice of triumph is harder but more necessary when things don't seem to be going right. We have to be in the place where, glory to God. I don't feel like it, but glory to God. I believe that He's still with me. I believe He's still for me. So I'm going to shout a shout of victory, not a shout of defeat, or not a wail of, oh me, oh my, but God, you're for me, 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 in Jesus' name. And you know, just honestly, that's something that I've had to force myself to do this week. It's been kind of a tough week, and you know, saw one of my best friends go home to be with the Lord, and you know that he's shouting, but he leaves behind a void in my life, and especially in his wife's life. But at the same time, it's like, glory to God, he's not suffering anymore, and he's with Jesus. He's dancing in glory. He's met there by his loved ones, and Jesus is talking to him, and it's victory, it's not defeat. Amen? Glory to God. And so we have to be a people that shout with a voice of triumph. With a voice of triumph. Come on. We're going to win. Glory to God. We're the winners. We're on the winning team. Glory to God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. You know, I used to, back in the heyday when the Mariners were actually winning in 1995, one of their slogans was, two outs, so what? It doesn't matter, we're coming back. It doesn't matter what the score is in the first inning. It doesn't matter what the score is in the fifth inning. It doesn't matter what the score is in the seventh inning. But at the end of the ninth inning, we're going to be on top. Right? And so even in our lives, it may not look like it's victory right now, and it may not look like it's victory next week. But at the end of the day, glory to God, when we put off these earth suit, or when Jesus comes back, I love this, it describes when he comes back. He says he's going to come back with a what? A shout. A shout. So I think we just need to practice that. Right? Jesus, you can come back any time. Glory! Hallelujah! Come on, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our affection. He's worthy of our excitement. Glory to God. And I'm going to shout with a voice of triumph. Shout to the God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to praise him and worship him. Look at this. For the Lord Most High is awesome. We don't serve a God, we serve the God. We're not serving a God who's made with hands and has a, you know, place in a temple somewhere, and he's just a vision that they put, you know, like gold over or whatever, or a statue of some kind. We serve the living God, and he is awesome. What does awesome mean? It means spectacular. It means incredible. It means beyond our words. He is awesome. He's a great God. He's a big God. He's a powerful God. He's the God who is, who was, and who will be. He is awesome. He's a great king over all the earth. Don't get it twisted, right? The president isn't in charge. Putin isn't in charge. Zelensky isn't in charge. The Pope isn't in charge. The king of all the earth is in heaven, and he reigns on high. Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the God that you and I serve. Right? We live in our country. I'm proud of my country. I love my country. But really, my country is not who rules over me. The one who rules over me is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His word is true. Glory to God. He's a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. Sometimes, especially in our day, and those of us who are a little more mature and have seen what I consider to be the decline of morals and the decline of so many things that have governed this country for so long, it's easy to go, oh my God, what's going to happen next? You know. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, He is going to be in charge, right? He is going to rule. And I personally believe, and you might call me just over-optimistic, but I believe that in our nation that's ripe for revival, and I believe that God is doing a great thing, and I believe that He's going to restore some of the things that we've lost because of the God of humanism. He's going to restore that He is the Lord, and He is the Lord over this nation, and that God has a plan for our nation. He's not done with our nation. Amen? Hallelujah! He is the God over the whole earth, and He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. So it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what the Democrats say or the Republicans say. It doesn't matter, even if it looks like they're winning, God is going to subdue them under our feet. In Romans chapter 16, it says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet because we're in Him. We used to sing that song, He's under my feet, He's under my feet, you know, He's under my feet. And we need to keep Him there, even if it looks like He's winning. Devil, I'm telling you right now, you're under my feet in the name of Jesus. Because every knee has to bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord and that He's given me authority over you. I'm not going to give in to the thought and the attitude, oh, the devil's just beating me up. Glory to God. The devil can't beat me up if Jesus has already defeated him and given me victory in Jesus' name. My feelings might try to go into depression, and I might talk about how bad or how sad things are, but I'm telling you that Jesus is Lord. He's for me, and He's not going to desert me. And He's going to put all things under my feet. There's a day coming, and you know, every day it's a little bit closer when I'm going to be together with Him, right? Glory to God. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When my friend, you know, went to be with Jesus Sunday, and I was there with him, I was sad, absolutely. But I was also a little jealous. I got to be honest with you, a little jealous, because I knew that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I knew that the minute that you're absent from this body that is ridden with guilt, shame, and all of the effects that the earth and sin has had on it, that you're going to be with Him and there's going to be no shame. There's going to be no pain. There's going to be nothing but total acceptance in the Lord. And you go, really? That's what the cross did for me. This, He loves me. He really, really loves me. And all of that other stuff will be wiped away and it'll be under our feet. Listen to this. He will choose our inheritance for us. Oh, glory to God. Did you know that He's chosen your inheritance for you? He said that you're a joint heir with Christ. So everything that Christ inherited, we inherit. We are the inheritance of the Lord. It's so good. We are, watch this, we are adopted sons and daughters of God. Look at this. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. You've all read this, but I just want to go there. It's came to my attention, so I'm just going to go with it for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 1, and look at this. I'm just going to read a few of the verses. It says in verse 15, it says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, just a quick note there, that means that you were transferred because of your faith and because of what God did. You're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and now transferred into the kingdom of light. So Paul's saying, because of that event happening in your life, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now watch what he prays. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. In other words, God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. But here's the point that I wanted to get to. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We're talking a minute ago about our inheritance, but did you know that you're His inheritance? Oh, glory to God. God values you so much that when one person gets saved, all of heaven rejoices, but He looks at you not as, well, you know, I guess Bruce is getting in. You know, we'll let him in. No, He says, Bruce is my inheritance. Glory to God. The devil and sin and Adam's choice took Bruce and all mankind away from me. But when Jesus died on the cross and paid the price, and Bruce accepted that price for him, I became his inheritance. I became something that was brought back to him. And that's who you are. Isn't that awesome? We are his inheritance. And look, go back to Psalm 47 and look at this again. He chose, verse 4, He chose our inheritance for us. In other words, He chose Jesus to pay the price so that we could inherit eternal life. But our inheritance is inclusive of what He inherited because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But not just that, our acceptance of that death, burial, and resurrection. Glory to God. We sing a song, I'm a friend of God. And that blows my mind. I'm a friend of God. You're a friend of God. Think about that for just a minute. That seems impossible. It's nice words and it's flowers. It's got a good beat to it, all that. But when you break it down, who am I, the first verse goes, that I am worthy of thee? I mean, who am I? What have I done? You know, but you call me friend. You call me friend. I'm a friend of God. What does that mean? A friend, watch this, a friend is somebody that you can go to when things aren't going right. A friend will be there for you no matter what. A friend is one that you could call up at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, listen, I need your help. I broke down. I need you to come help me change a tire. And a friend will be there, right? A friend of God, or God being your friend, says that God is there for you 24/7 all the time. I'm a friend of God. Glory to God, and I'm rejoicing in that fact. Hallelujah. Look at this. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loves. I love that. Did you know that God loves you? I said, did you know that God loves you? And there's a little phrase in my Bible, and probably in yours, that says, Selah. And what Selah means is, pause and think about this. It's like this, woo, you got to think on this one. You need to ponder this. You need to just think and let that go through your mind and your mind and your mind. God loves me. God loves me. God really loves me. And the fact is, absolutely, 100%. He's for me. He loves me. He's with me. Look at this again. It's so good. It says, the excellency of Jacob, whom God loves. I've got to tell you that we are the inheritance of God. God has made us for Himself. God has brought us to Himself through the blood of Jesus. And He likes the results. He likes the results. And His church, the adorned one, the one that Jesus paid the price for, that church He's coming back for without spot or wrinkle. Have you ever thought about that? I've thought about that and go, oh, God, we got a ways to go, right? Because I see the church members and I see things going on that I don't like, all of that. But that's not the reality of things. It's not our actions or inactions that He's coming back for the church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for the church that's without spot or wrinkle because they're in Christ and Jesus is without spot or wrinkle. Well, glory to God. So He can come anytime, and if you disagree with me and I disagree with you, but the blood of Jesus is covering both of us, we're going with Him in Jesus' name because it's His blood, right, that has brought us to that place. Hallelujah. Now look at this. This is amazing. God has gone up with a shout. God has gone up with a shout. God has gone up with a shout. What does that mean? I believe, just think about this. You see God going up to His throne room and all of heaven stops and shouts, "Praise unto God." You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about how that all, you know, even the angels and the seraphim and all the creatures of heaven bow before Him, and the 24 elders get off of their throne and they fall down before Him, and all of heaven just begins to worship at the same time. I believe there's a lot of people in heaven. I believe there's a lot of angels in heaven. I believe there's a lot of creatures that we don't normally see in heaven. But all of them at one point are worshiping God. I think that we can get that way right here. You know, it was many years ago, and it's happened several times, but we've been in worship where there's just not many of us, just a few of us. And, you know, we're in worship and, you know, there's a few instruments playing and we're singing and all of a sudden people hear instruments that aren't there. It's like, I didn't know you guys played the violin. There's no violins here. Well, I heard a harp being played. What's that? I believe that there are times when in the spirit realm, the curtain that's between heaven and earth is parted. And while we're worshiping from our hearts to God, that heaven says, "Ah, somebody from their heart is worshiping the Lord. Let's join in." Glory to God. Can you just think about that? And I wish He's never done this for me yet. I'm still waiting, Lord. I'm not believing for this because I don't think it's promised in the Word, but I wouldn't mind it if You opened my eyes to see that, right? Where I could see, you know, kind of the roof part, and I could see the angels gathered while we're worshiping the Lord. God goes up with a shout. He's going up to His throne with a shout, and I'm part of that shout. I'm part of that procession. Glory to God! Hallelujah! The one who was, the one who is, the one who will ever be is my God. He's my King. He's worthy of my praise. So it's not just a matter of praising for praise sake or liking the latest song from this group or that group. It's our hearts connected with God and really being connected to the place where we are giving Him a shout of praise because He's being and is enthroned on His throne. Look at verse 5 again. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Think about that. Have you ever watched the old movies of the medieval times? And you know, if they wanted the whole town or the town crier, but they'd come out with, you know, that was, "Can I have your attention, please? I need everybody's attention." Why? Because the King's in the house, the King's in the street, the King's come to the King, right? So watch this. I believe that God will come to us, and if we'll get into a place of worship, there will even be a sound of a trumpet in triumph saying, "The King is in your midst. He's in your presence in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Have you ever been under, it's just awesome, an anointed player who plays the horn? You remember Greg Ware when he used to come? Some of you do. Greg Ware was a friend of mine. He's in heaven now, but he played the trumpet, and he'd get in there in our little building, and he'd have that trumpet and it just filled the whole house. But it was electric. It was just amazing because of the anointing that's on the horn to blow. And sometimes that can happen with a shofar, because that's basically what they're talking about here. But today we have all kinds of other instruments. This is back in 82, the spring of 82. I was going to Grace Fellowship in Tulsa at the time, and Phil Driscoll came. Because Bob Yandian kind of grew up with Phil Driscoll, but he came and he played in our church. And I mean, first of all, amazing, just amazing. I don't know if you ever have seen him in live, but he'll start playing that thing and the top of his forehead will just get red. I mean, because he's hitting notes and stuff, but just the anointing that came down because he was praising the Lord with the instrument, but also his life had been so radically changed that he was praising him from his heart. Right? Did you know that everybody who's got a musical gift, their primary purpose for that gift is to worship the Lord? And I don't care if they're in bars, I don't care if they're, you know, playing in a rock band somewhere, if they've got talent and God's given them that gifting, the ultimate purpose of that is to worship God. That's what the music was created for. Glory to God. So keep praying for them. Look at this. With the sound of a trumpet. Now watch this. This is our responsibility. Verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. How many know that what you say or what comes out of your mouth has an effect not only on you but others that are around you? Right? Hold your place. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. I want to hook these two together. Proverbs 18. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if you'll just discipline yourself to worship God and get in His presence, whether you feel it or not, there will come a time where you'll feel it. Proverbs 18. And then look at verse 20. I believe it's verse 20. I will find it. Do you have it up there? Yeah. Look at this. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Now, this is kind of backwards, right? The fruit of the mouth is what's coming out of the mouth, not what's going into the mouth, into the stomach. But the stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of the mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. In other words, what's coming out of your mouth is filling you. Now, the next verse, and we're going to go to that in just a second, it's going to show you the difference. Right? Go to verse 21. Watch this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you're either speaking life or you're speaking death. Now, this is the weird part, is some people like speaking death. But the fruit that you're going to get from speaking it is death. But if you'll speak life, the fruit that you'll get from that is speaking life. Hallelujah. I heard this guy was listening to a podcast today, and a question came up, and this was a guy that talks about finances and stuff. And he said, and the question was, well, when you really are miserable in your job, you know, what steps can you take to find another job? And the guy says, well, I think your premise is all wrong. So what do you mean? He said, well, if you're miserable in your job, get happy in your job. If you're miserable in your job, get happy in your job, because this is what will happen. If you go to another job, you'll be miserable there because you haven't learned how to get happy where you are. And part of that is the fruit of what you're saying. and what you're believing and what you're listening to and what you're going for. So if you're miserable, you've got to learn to speak something different so that you get a different attitude. Now watch this. This is really cool. Did you know that your feelings are a product of what you think? What you think is not a product of your feelings. Your feelings are a product of what you think. So if you can think differently, you can have different feelings. So if you're miserable, it's because you're thinking miserable. So if you can think more positively, then you won't be miserable. That's powerful. Well, what do you do? What thoughts do you put in to get to that place? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Glory to God. You get His praise on your lips. You get His word back in your mouth. You begin to worship God no matter what. Again, I've said this before, but I think it was Don Gossett that had a book. It was Praise the Lord Anyhow. Praise the Lord Anyhow. This was way back when I first got saved. I read this book by Don Gossett. Praise the Lord Anyhow. And what he'd say is say, listen, I dare you to praise the Lord with some exuberance 10 times in a row. Just say, praise the Lord. 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 You know, 10 times, and your attitude stay the same. You might start out going, praise the Lord. Praise God. But if you'll stay with it and get His praise on your lip, it will change your attitude. Why? Because when you're praising the Lord, you're praising the giver of life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. I want to eat the fruit of peace and joy and long-suffering. It doesn't mean that I have to be in a joyful place. I might be in a miserable circumstance, but I can praise my way into His presence, which will bring joy to me, even if the circumstances don't change. Praise the Lord anyhow. Praise the Lord anyhow. We've all suffered sorrow. We've all suffered loss. We've all been in miserable situations where people betray us and things happen. Well, if we'll give ourselves to worshiping God and praising God in the midst of that circumstance, our feelings will change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, look at sing praises to God, verse 6 of Psalm 47. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for the God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. You know, Paul said it this way, and in the New Testament, we got it so much better than they did in the Old Testament, because Paul said that when he was talking about praying in the tongues and praying with his prayer language, he said this. He said, I pray with my spirit and I pray with my understanding. But I sing with my spirit and I sing with my understanding. What was he saying? He was saying, I know how to pray in my native tongue, but I also know that there's a place that I can get to where my prayer language comes out in a completely different way. Come on. Have you ever been in a place where the spirit of praise just came over people and they began to sing in the spirit? What do I mean again? Shundre de aborotecito andurie durie lamboroto. I worship you. Yendurie andura de ye. And it just descends on the place. Years ago, I was at Full Gospel Businessmen. It was when I first got saved, and they didn't have any instruments. It was all a cappella, but we'd worship God with a few songs, and then we'd go off into the Spirit, right? And just begin to sing in the Spirit. So you have, I don't know how many people were there, several hundred, but they'd start, and it was just amazing how the harmonies came and the difference. It was like a symphony of people that weren't singing the same tune or the same words because they were all praying in the Spirit, but they were in the Spirit praising. So look at this. We can sing with our understanding and praise God. And if you don't know what to praise Him with, just open this. Just open the Psalms and begin to praise Him. Just begin to worship Him. And if you don't like to sing, which I don't understand that because I love to sing, but if you don't love to sing, just speak it out, right? I've told you this story before, but it fits here again that there was a time when I was by myself. It was late at night, and I just opened the book of Psalms, and I started singing the Psalms. What do you mean? Well, I mean, I didn't have a tune. I just started singing. I'm just going to... Psalm 49 is right here. And so I just do something like this. Hear this, O peoples, give ear, O inhabitants of the world, both high and low, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. And I went on like that for almost 2 hours. And I was so lost in God that nothing seemed to matter. Right? Nothing seemed to matter. Well, I'm telling you that if we'll begin to discipline ourselves to go there, that God will show up in a powerful way. And it's almost like when Paul said this, he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I'm learning that. I don't think I've completely learned that because I still let situations affect me. But if we want to get to the place where we're not allowing our circumstance to dictate our mood, we have to get praise on our lips. Glory to God. I just feel His presence right now. He's so good. He's so good. Back to Psalm 47. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with His understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. What would be awesome is if the church would focus as much on God, the King of Kings, than they are the news of the kings of the earth. Right? I don't know about you, but I've watched all the news stations, and I've watched it, and Facebook even, and different things. You can get so, it's like, oh my God. You know, just get, there's nothing I can do. I'm powerless. But I'm telling you, if you'd shut that stuff off and get into the presence of God and begin to read about who He is and what He's doing, it doesn't mean that we don't keep ourselves informed of situations, but we have to come from the perspective, yes, this is the micro situation that we're living in, but the macro situation is that God is much bigger. He's seen the beginning, He's seen the end, and He's written about how joyous and triumphant it's going to be for the children of God, of which I am, not because I'm a part of a certain church, not because I'm doing everything right. It's because the blood of Jesus, and I have faith in the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is complex, but it's really simple. And it's just this. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. That means that we're all in the same boat. None of us can say, I've lived a good life, so therefore I deserve to be with God. None of us, nobody who's ever lived could say that except Jesus. But watch this. All have fallen short of the gospel, or the glory of God. And so the gospel says we all need a Savior. But the good news, which is what gospel means that Jesus came down, took on the form of a man, paid the price for my sin, so that when He died on the cross, my sins were attached to Him. And when I believed in Him and I accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior, my sins went on Him, and because my sins went on Him, His righteousness came on me. That's good news. That God's not mad at the world anymore. God is not under the place of righteous judgment that says all have sinned, so all have to go to hell. The righteous judgment is because Jesus paid the penalty that for all people. All people have the right now to go to heaven if they'll just accept Jesus as their Savior. That's good news, right? And if I think about that for just a while, it's awesome. I can just begin, yeah, this body of mine that used to be more limber is hurting a little bit more now. You know, I got this friend Art that shows up every once in a while, but yet I know that I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Come on. Is that true? Is that true? Well, talk to Him more than you're talking about anything else. Talk about Him more than you're talking about anything else. God reigns over the nation. God sits on His holy throne. He's got it all in control. He's in charge. He knows the beginning from the end. So I can worship Him and praise Him and know that He's got it, He's got it, He's got it. You know, there's a scripture that says and talks about my name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that's an incredible scripture, and I've often talked to God. I said, Lord, are we sure it's in there? Lord, are we sure it's in there? Because I want to make sure that my name's written in there and it hasn't been scratched out, but my name, because of the blood of Jesus and because He's my Lord, is written in there. Come on. It says, He said that for God so loved the world that whosoever should believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. I have everlasting life living on the inside of me because of my relationship with Jesus. And God reigns over the nation. He sits on His holy throne. Verse 9 says, princes of the people have gathered together, the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God, and He is highly exalted. Come on. He is exalted. What does that mean? He's lifted up. I mean, at the end of the ages, when everybody, all the blinders are taken off, they're going to go, oh my word. Those that haven't received Him are going to go, oh no. And those that have are going to go, yep, that's the one. That's the one I've been worshiping. That's the one I've been worshiping. And watch this. What does exalt mean? Exalt means to lift up. Exalt means to make higher, to imagine even more, right? I exalt Thee, Lord. I'm putting You over me. I'm putting You over my circumstances. I'm putting You over everything, right? When we sing that song, we sing it a lot, and it's one of those songs that's just awesome. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. When we do that from our hearts, everything changes. Why? Because you're saying, God, You're above my circumstances. God, You're above my feelings. God, You're above everything, and I'm exalting You over all of them. Right? Go with me, and we'll close with this. Go to Mark 11. In light of what we've said, go to Mark 11 and look at this. This is the story about when Jesus was walking by, going on His way to the city, and he saw a fig tree, wanted to go get some fruit. There was none on it, and so he cursed it, and they just kept walking on. The tree didn't change. But the next day, Peter looks at that same tree, goes, Lord, that tree that You cursed is withered. It's completely withered and gone. And I'm sure Jesus went, well, yeah. Yeah, because I said something to it. Then He says in verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Watch that. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. What does that mean? I believe totally and am confident in the God who I serve and the God who's promised me certain things. I just believe God. I have faith in God. Watch, he goes on to say, "For assuredly I say to you," the King James, and I like that, "verily, verily I say to you," or emphatically, without a question, without a doubt, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says." So it's important that we know what we're saying in our circumstances. That we're speaking of the God who is the God or the object of our faith. God, you're with me. You're for me. I know what this looks like. I know that it doesn't look like it could come to pass, but God, I'm trusting you at the end of the day. I'm just trusting you. God, I believe in you. It could happen. In fact, I think the Bible says that at some point it's going to happen, where the world is even going to get crazier than it is right now. But for those of us who will hang on and keep Jesus at the forefront, we can say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my strength, He's my tower, He's my everything. Glory to God. Now, one of the things that people fear the most, and even right now, for all things, my word, is baby formula. There's no baby formula on the food. In fact, people are rushing to Costco because they've gotten some in, and they're buying as much as they can of it. And I understand that, but that fear is so stupid. Why? Because for generations, mothers fed babies goat milk or evaporated. There's other things that you can do that you don't have to be in fear of that. But watch this. There is a potential that our grocery stores could be empty. Right? So what do we do? Oh my God, I got to hoard things. I got to get some guns so that I can protect those things. I've just got to, because fear is coming. Or we could say, God, I just trust you. And Lord, you could bring manna, but even if you don't, and the worst happens and I starve to death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So God, you'll sustain me through all of that, right? So it sucks the fear out of it when you exalt God in it. Have faith in God and say to this mountain, be thou removed, right? It's not about the mountain, it's about God. God is my supply. He's never let me down. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I've got that coming into me because I'm exalting the one who's given me everything. He's the lover of my soul. He loves me. He loves you. He's for you. He's got you. He's got me. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We exalt you, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you for this night. We honor you in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that everything that we're facing, God, you've seen in advance. You provided a way of escape. But, Lord, we know that you're with us in this situation. Lord, even tonight, as I'm grieving, but not grieving as those who have no hope, for my friend who's gone on to be with you, I'm lifting up my friend Leslie, Lord, and I'm just asking you to bless her tonight, to be with her, and Father, to comfort her, and just show her, God, that you've got her in your hands. And Lord, we just praise you and give you all the thanks. Father, if there's anybody who's listening to me tonight and has never made you the Lord of their lives, I pray that they do right now. Just ask Jesus to come into your life. Give your life to Him. Repent of your sins and just say, Lord, I'm turning myself over to you to live for you for the rest of my life. If you do that from your heart, it will change your eternity. But maybe you've done that and you've just taken on the care of the world. You've taken on the fear that the news of the day brings. Tonight, just release that to Him. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I exalt you. You're the one who cares for me. You love me, and I give all of my care upon you. I cast it upon you, God, and I know that you care for me. So I forgive me, Lord, for not thinking of you first, for not exalting you. But from this night on, I will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, God's going to change your circumstances. If you need a healing or anything else, God will touch you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen.